Joining us now is George Friday, who is the field organizer for the Bill of Rights Defense Committee, as well as on the national leadership team of Move to Amend. George and her cohorts, David Cobb and Ruthie Engelke, were in Ohio this past week, traveling around many communities, including Northeast Ohio. So thanks, George, for taking a few moments to be here.
I'm glad to be here, Greg. Thank you.
Well, it was a wonderful time for you to be with us, and just sort of wanted your general impressions, first of all, about your experience in Ohio, what you thought your takeaways were, what did you learn?
It was fantastic to be here. Folks here in Ohio are doing wonderful work to promote a democracy movement and help us get closer to having a 28th Amendment.
And that 28th Amendment is in particular calling for what?
To stop the illogical and ridiculous notion that corporations should have the same constitutional rights as human beings and that money equals free speech. Both of those elements are being challenged by the 28th Amendment.
Now, George, you have just a tremendous amount of experience in working on just a plethora of issues with various communities in different places, both in the South and around the country. You know, many people think that Move to Amend is pretty siloized in just dealing with these one or two particular issues. To what extent is that true? To what extent is that not?
Well, with Move to Amend, we are talking about a democracy movement. We need a democracy movement because currently the United States is not being ruled by we the people. It is being ruled by corporations. Our choices, our laws, even our organizing wins are all at the vulnerable to being taken back or halted in their tracks by the power of corporations. So we need a full democracy movement. The 28th Amendment that challenges Citizens United, but is stronger than just challenging Citizens United, taking away both the element of money equal free speech and corporations having constitutional rights, is the beginning of us claiming a genuine democracy in this country, and for many communities for the first time ever.
Right, and it's just so important to understand and I think frame this issue as it's not just simply about trying to stop corporations in its track or surface or smoke out a single bad corporate apple, if you will, or an individual millionaire or billionaire who is corrupting or perverting a politician or a political process. It's not any of those individual incidents or individual bad occurrences, but something, correct, that's more fundamental.
Absolutely. It would be a beautiful thing if we could create justice and genuine democracy in this country by just identifying a set of bad individuals or even set of bad corporations and, you know, control them. That would be awesome. Unfortunately, we are dealing with decades and decades, and in some ways, in some people, hundreds of years of building a resistance against people's will and creating conditions for the very, very wealthy and the corporate elite to rule the country. So we're challenging that. To challenge that requires a movement, and not just in the same way it would be great if there were just a few set of people that were the problem. It would be fantastic if just a few set of us could change everything, but it takes all of us who care about environmental justice, economic justice, racial and social justice, equity for people of all sexual identities and all religions, requires us to have a genuine democracy movement that focuses on building power to change the conditions that are occurring in our countries and community today.
And so that's why, is it not, that Move to Amend not only drills down and has a tremendous amount of information and encouragement of discussion around legal history and political change, how one does that historically and strategically, but also focuses on issues of race, class, and oppression. I'm just wondering if you might be able to comment on why that is so critical in what you have accurately described as the need to develop a wide and deep social movement.
Well, we're challenging some of the assumptions, or assumptions may not be the word, but some of the conditions that existed at the creation of our country. And those are built on getting rid of all the people who are indigenous in this country. There's a word for it that's not coming to me. But I can't think of it now. It happened with Jewish people, too, when you just decimate.
Exterminate.
Yes. You know, when you decimate a whole crew of people, as we did to the indigenous folks here, and enslaved Africans, and women were chattel. So it's not like that was all guaranteed in the Constitution. None of it was challenged in the Constitution. No conditions for justice and equity and true democracy are in that document that some of us cherish currently. So if we are, that means that the people in this country from the beginning who were most exploited or had the boot on their throat, as it were, are the people who have the most at stake and the most to gain by having real democracy. So we need to reach out to those people around us in our communities and those people in our country who have been unheard, who have been silenced or, you know, destroyed emotionally, spiritually, and really destroyed, so that they wouldn't have power, keeping power away from some people. I don't think anyone would deny that during the time that the Constitution was formed, there was no intention to share power with indigenous folks or enslaved folks or poor white folks or women. And there were fights and struggles and movements to get protections for labor, protections for women, protection for people of color, and even protections for queer communities. That's going back and forth these days, but the fight continues. So that's why for us to be effective in having a movement to win the 28th Amendment and build a democracy movement, we have to make strong connections to those communities who are dealing with the injustice brought on in many ways by corporate rule and follow the leadership of those same people. Young people, people of color, undocumented folks, folks of different religions, folks of different sexual identities and backgrounds and class. It's a full-blown movement, baby!
And not an easy one ever to build. But and that's why I have appreciated so much in looking at the material that National Move to Amend has put together that I know you helped construct that has helped those leaders and members of various affiliates and chapters to help in that growing awareness and understanding of not simply, which is in of itself quite substantive and important to understand, but not just around issues of oppression and discrimination and the like, but also how these materials cover the lessons to be learned from social movements, the efforts in the past to co-opt social movements, to take down, to distract social movements, that those are things that we absolutely today need to understand. Otherwise, we're going to make the same bloody mistakes that those in that have come before us have made, and that we will have learned nothing from them.
You're absolutely right. And some of us honor those folks who are in early struggles, whether they're labor movement, the suffragette movement, the civil rights movement. To really honor the memory of those folks is to do the work right this time. It's really hard. It takes so much energy and so much effort. We're challenging so much of what we've learned in this country because we're conditioned to think, oh, well, the smartest person in the room is the white man who has a master's degree or a PhD, not realizing that the 15-year-old kid in the corner has a whole lot to say about how to change conditions in their neighborhood. So for us to even be able to hear and understand the brilliance of all of us collectively in creating solutions, there's a lot we have to unlearn. It's hard work. It's not work with a lot of benefits or things that come back at you that are great to hear. But it's where we go if we say we care about genuine justice, a clean environment, being able to treat all beings with love, respect, and dignity, then we have to step up and do the work, including the work of being conscious of our own issues that are keeping us back and holding us back, and doing the work of sort of weeding that out of our spiritual gardens, as it were, and joining with other people, not always being the smartest person in the room, and not always being the one in power, but collectively creating power with others, transferring skills that you have, sharing your privilege strategically, and being a dependable ally for people that are dealing with some really hard conditions. Yeah. And David always says, David Cobb, one of our colleagues and a co-founder of Move to Amend, in studying the other movements, he reminds us that each of those movements, the labor movement, the women's rights movement, the peace and justice movement, really fell apart around race and power.
Populists as well.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
All right, so let's not make that mistake. That's an easy one to fix. Now, it's if we recognize that and work on it, then we can address it. But it's hard work because we're conditioned in this country to just not even talk about some of those issues. But we must if we can have justice for those who are dealing with some real hard realities and things getting worse. We have to challenge the militarization of our local police, the blaming of the poor and low-income people for economic conditions, assaults on women and queer people, misogyny and greed. It fuels a lot of really scary stuff in this country. We know that. We don't have to spend the lion's share of our time when we're together talking about how horrible things are. Let's acknowledge that that's true. We know it's rooted in some of these conditions that help corporations thrive. And let's be about creating some change that we can sustain and pass on to future generations.
Right. No, it's very well said. Just to extrapolate this out just a bit more about the issue in particular of repression versus co-optation. You know, certainly one of the ways that the power elite of any age, in any country, in any time period, have used to get people who have successfully come together, which is tough enough because, at least in our culture, the John Wayne mentality has predominated of, I can bring about change all by my lonesome.
That's right.
So when people come together, that's hard work, and it doesn't happen very often, but when it does, certainly one of the responses of the powers to be has been to repress it, but another has been to co-opt it.
Right.
And I'm wondering if you could just comment on in particular, with Move to Amend, the potential threat of co-optation. I mean, we've seen it with Occupy, we've seen repression as well.
Yeah, that's right.
With Occupy and with Black Lives Matters to a certain extent, right? But there's also efforts to co-opt.
Right.
And so could you just comment on the potential pitfalls and the antenna that needs to be raised about ways to prevent that?
Well, I'm looking forward to having opportunity to create some of these solutions or think about some of this together with other people that are part of Move to Amend and part of building a movement. Because I don't think any of us have the answer all by ourselves. I do know that those of us who may be seen on the left, and I'm way, 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 way up there on the left, okay, but can often think we gotta win, and we've been deluded into thinking it's a win. And sometimes that's because we're seeking an easy answer or a shortcut, and there really aren't any. I know this because of being with white leftists or white progressives or liberals. I don't know the right word. Mostly liberals, who people who think they've got it together, but, you know, under scrutiny, you know, they're noodles. So those folks, and no disrespect, I mean, people do the best they can with what they know at the time. But sometimes these same folks who think they know the best do not want to have to deal with race or gender or sexual identity or class. It's just too much work. It's just too hard, they'll say. It's just too complicated. Well, here's the reality we are. This is where we are. And to be able to unweave some of these things that are in our way, we have to face that. But if it feels like a win, I know without a doubt, and this is to take nothing away from how awesome our current president has meant to lots of people. And in 2008, there's some folks who thought he was the second coming. And I don't mean that in a disrespectful way to Christians at all, but if you just saw people, it was kind of trippy. And thinking this is a huge win. We're going to be good now. We're going to have justice. We're going to have a colorblind society. That was the one that I found most funny, mm-hmm. that colorblind thing. But there are some people who genuinely felt that way and felt like it's a win. We can lean back. And then, you know, you run over by the corporate elite really quickly. And I only remember one other time in my lifetime when that happened, when there was a surplus in the budget. And we, those of us who were like, oh, yes, we've been working on, you know, stop funding the military, fund social needs for ages. I think it was in the Clinton administration. I think we felt like there was a surplus. And I remember feeling like, wow, education programs will get funded. And
what do they call that? A peace dividend.
Peace dividend, yes. We called it that for about 3 months. And then that got scooped up. And before you know it, it's being repackaged in some way to give it back to folks to take our jobs out of the country. And, you know, it was the beginning of NAFTA. So, all right, I'm not saying there's a direct line. I'm saying that we might think it's a win when it's not a genuine win. Those of us in the leadership of Move to Amend will not be fooled again or ever. We are clear, and we have it in our strategic plan. We know what our benchmarks we're looking for. We know what a win looks like. And we put that down as we begin to create the chaos so that as we're in it, as things get crazier, as things get more difficult, we have a map. We have a really great strategy. We need help refining some of it, taking it down to the ground, helping folks to do it in their own communities. But it's a good experiment.
And you're specifically referencing the draft 10-year plan.
10-year strategic plan, yes.
Strategic plan that moved to amend.
There's a lot we can do in those 10 years. And if we do it well, at the end of the 10 years, we at least have a 28th Amendment. We at most have a full-blown democracy movement and some real serious change locally and nationally. It's very exciting. I'm very excited.
Yes, it is. And certainly one of the quests, I think, of many of those who are in Move to Amend and understanding the possible pitfalls or the, if you will, efforts to co-opt are the multiple efforts out there of very good-natured and well-meaning individuals and groups that are focused exclusively on the money in politics, in money in elections, which certainly, heavens, you need.
It's something.
It needs to be dealt with. It needs to be dealt with. But as, you know, some people say, we're only going to get one bite at the amendments of the Constitution apple in our generation. It's not like a law, you know, where you can piecemeal this. Let's get 10% of what we want this year and another 10% next year. Hey, you only get one crack at this. When it comes to a constitutional amendment. So why not make it worth the effort?
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, if it's going to be so hard anyway, we should do it right.
Yeah.
I've been in settings with folks where, even at a community level, people are maybe dealing with horrible crime where they live, displaced jobs, people getting thrown out of their homes, and, you know, repression from the police. And they'll settle for just one piece of what they want, not even asking for all of it, not thinking they'll get any of it. And we should not sell ourselves or future generations short. The planet deserves more. We deserve more. And the people who have never experienced democracy in this country certainly deserve more.
Well, George, just want to thank you for taking the time. I know we have... certainly those of us here in Ohio and where I heard you in Columbus, in Akron, and in Cleveland have been very impressed with your experience, with your insights, and with your inspirations. So thanks so much for being with us and for taking the time and for continuing to carry on.
An absolute pleasure, Greg. Thank you.
Take care. You've been listening to an interview of George Friday, National Move to Amend Leadership Team Member and Field Organizer of the National Bill of Rights Defense Committee. This is Greg Coleridge, Director of the Northeast Ohio American Friends Service Committee. For more information about our work and upcoming events and activities, please go to afsc.org/Akron. That's afsc.org/Akron.